You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can go off onto any topic that we need to. Yep. But for the most part, we stick to sports, entertainment, and odd news.
That's right.
That's our favorite topics to discuss.
Yeah. Those are the topics we're most well-versed in, yep. I think.
You give us 2 hours, we'll give you the best in sports, entertainment, and odd news, and whatever else flows out of our minds.
Damn straight. Yep. Damn Skippy.
Damn Skippy. I haven't heard that one in a while.
I always crack up. I don't know why.
It's Who's Skippy?
I don't know. Whoever he is, he's a jerk, though. Damn that Skippy.
Yeah, damn Skippy.
Well, there's always Skip Bayless.
Is it him?
Maybe. He kind of annoys me.
So, damn Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
There we go. Right off the bat. We're not even 2 minutes in the show.
That's right.
We're already criticizing people.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just air all our grievances.
Yeah. Well, before we take the full boatload of grievances in the sports sampler, we like to do a little bit of introduction as to, you know, what we've been up to in the past week or so since we've had our last show. So, Mike, what have you been up to?
Oh boy, this weekend was busy for me. I finished up my my semester for grad school.
Sure, I'm gonna bring a hot pocket to bed tonight. Then
I did.
You
I did
some
have
hot pockets
a,
to
I did
bed?
Have a couple of hot pockets. Not in bed, but
sure. I'm gonna bring a hot pocket to bed tonight. Then
they were quite tasty hot pockets. But
okay,
but and then I did some Christmas shopping at King of Prussia, which I don't know why I decided to do that. That was a mistake.
In King of Prussia?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was a madhouse.
The second largest mall on the East Coast?
Second largest mall in America. First largest on the East Coast.
Oh, right. Mall of America.
Mall of America, yeah.
Right. There we
go. It was a madhouse. Oh, my God. It was crazy. But we had a fun time. And then Sunday we celebrated.
Do you know they're going to actually connect the two parts of the mall?
Yeah, they are.
For those that are local to the Philadelphia area, just a heads up. Yeah, the plaza and the court will actually soon be connected by an actual building.
The mingling of the lower class with the high class. It's the upper class.
Is this
You're
class
telling
warfare?
Me, come on. You go to the plaza. It's like McDonald's. Actually, there's no McDonald's at King of Prussia. It's like GameStop and stuff like that. And then the court is all like fancy stuff.
The places where you go and you get perfume sprayed on you.
Yeah, exactly. You've never noticed?
No, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, you're right.
They got like fancy cooking stores and this little place that sells stuff handmade from like the Philippines and Africa. Really neat stuff. All fair trade. I feel like an advertisement now.
Come on down to the King of Prussia Mall where we've got the bridge between equality and classes.
Wow. Okay.
Come on down.
We're fighting class warfare. The struggle to unite all people.
And give you the ability to shop for Christmas.
Yes.
Ta-da!
And don't forget, we're running a special. No. But, no, so.
Yeah! I'm a DJ! Yeah, see? DJ.
Also, my family had a second Thanksgiving to celebrate my two cousins' birthdays. So.
You had a second Thanksgiving?
We had a second Thanksgiving, yes.
Okay. Why? Well,
my cousin, my two cousins, my cousin and his daughter share the same birthday, so we celebrate on the same day, and they like Thanksgiving dinner, so we always have a second Thanksgiving to celebrate their birthday. And it's amazing. Who doesn't love Thanksgiving dinner?
Plus again.
Plus again. It's back to back. Literally 1 weekend, Thanksgiving dinner, second weekend, Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Does anybody want to throw a Thanksgiving dinner for me this upcoming weekend? Because 2 weekends in a row, I don't know if I can take a weekend without it at this point.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
The best you're going to do is Hot Pockets.
I can find some solace in some Hot Pockets, yeah.
That's the best you're going to do as far as I'm concerned.
But that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to? I know you were at the Camp Out for Hunger, right?
Yeah. Last week was the Camp Out for Hunger. Preston and Steve of MMR, they throw it every year. And boy, man, it's a lot of fun. It's one of those events that it's exhausting. I'm on the ground crew for the station.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, we handle all the logistics of, you know, actually putting things in motion and everything and handing out, you know, giveaways and stuff like that. It's one of those things where you're exhausted by the end of the day, but you had so much fun. It's worth it.
And you were telling me you guys raised so many donations of food.
Yeah, Camp Out for Hunger this year raised 420 tons of food for Philabundance.
A ton is 2,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So what was it, 420?
Yeah, 420. Which a lot of people found hilarious that yeah. We hit 420.
Well, you know what's not hilarious is the fact that you raised 840,000 pounds of food.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, I don't know how many people that feeds, but that is amazing.
That's a lot.
That is amazing work right there.
So that was a lot of fun last week, and so happy to be a part of it. Yeah, so that took up pretty much my whole week, and then the weekend I just crashed. Like, it really is exhausting, you know?
Yeah, obviously, you're there lifting. I bet you were carrying a whole bunch of food back and forth and helping people and organizing people. And
yeah,
it must have been very tiring.
I crashed this weekend. Stayed in.
Hey, that's what the weekend's for, man.
You know, stayed in my sweatpants.
Nice. A big bowl of sugary cereal.
I had my Eagle sweater on, but unfortunately didn't help on Sunday.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that later in the episode.
Well, it's the sport. Well, actually, coming up next is Sports Sampler, isn't it?
Okay, I guess we're going to get into it now.
I guess. Well, oh, wait, we do have one topic that we do have to hit. You know what? All right, so first off, let's launch into the Sports Sampler, and then we can go into the topics we have planned. How about that?
All right, let's do that. So here we go. First up, we have the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep, in your face.
Yeah, and boy, this news was a little shocking and just came out of nowhere. I don't know if you guys remember, briefly last week I mentioned that Eric Berry, the amazing Pro Bowl caliber safety from the Kansas City Chiefs, was going in to get some tests done. And so he was going to be missing playing. That was a few weeks ago. Well, the diagnosis came back, and it turns out that Eric Berry has been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. That's cancer of the lymphatic system. So this is really, really sad news. I mean, 25 years old. He was such a great safety. But the good news is that the doctors are saying it's very treatable and potentially curable with just standard chemotherapy. So they're saying if they treat it now and, you know, attack it as soon as possible, that everything should work out all right.
Well, yeah, I believe that, you know, it's a good thing they caught it this early.
Definitely, definitely.
You know, he didn't wait around until something started hurting him.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, you don't want to wait around with stuff like this. But so, you know, our thoughts are with the Chiefs and the Berry family, and we're wishing Eric Berry a speedy recovery.
Bad luck.
Yeah, really bad luck.
You know, from what I hear, he's a good guy in the locker room.
Yeah, and a phenomenal talent on the field. So hopefully he can get back.
Bad luck.
Yeah, hopefully he can get back to doing what he loves, you know. But most importantly right now is he takes care of the health issues.
Yeah.
And gets better, which it seems like the doctors are positive about. So there is good news there.
He's on the Chiefs, right?
He's on the Kansas City Chiefs, yes.
Yeah, well, let's be honest with you. You guys aren't going anywhere.
Wow.
Let's be honest. Does anybody really expect the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl? Really?
No, I mean, they have a decent record.
They have a decent record, but not going
to the Super Bowl.
No, this is not their year. Come on, let's be honest.
So, you know, don't try and, you know, rush.
Broncos, yeah. Patriots. And then even if they did make it to the Super Bowl, Packers, come on.
Seahawks,
yeah. No.
So, yeah, take this time to get better.
It's more important for this guy to you know, recover and treat this form of cancer.
Yes.
Versus, you know, staying in the season for three more weeks.
Yeah.
Seeing if they're even going to go anywhere, because to be honest with you, I don't think they are.
Yeah, but most importantly, you have to take care of the health concerns first.
Yeah.
So, once again, our thoughts are with the Chiefs and the Berries. Good luck and speedy recovery, I guess. Yeah.
All right, now we can get into our official Week 14 recap.
Oh, God.
The Eagles versus the Seahawks, unfortunately.
More bad news.
Yeah, well, bad news for the Eagles on this one.
Yeah, the Seahawks soared past the Eagles 24-14. This was a really humbling loss.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll take it. I mean,
who didn't have this marked down as a loss when the schedule first came out?
Yeah, the Seahawks, defending Super Bowl champions. Their defense is still the number one.
It is. Well, now it is the number one.
Yeah, I'd still say it's the number one.
In the beginning of the year, they struggled, but the past couple of weeks,
they turned it on.
They've been ridiculous. They're better than they were last year.
They're back to Super Bowl form.
They were. And, you know, it shows against the Eagles. The Eagles, who have a top five offense, were held to, get this, 139 total yards.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass.
They didn't. He's absolutely right. 10 pass completions. Mark Sanchez looked like Geno Smith, who we just talked about. He had less than 100 yards passing. McCoy only had 50. As a team, we only had 57 rushing yards. This is 139 total yards, not 139 passing yards, 139 total offensive yards.
Yeah, the lowest by a Chip Kelly-led offense, right?
Yeah, in college or the pros, which is shocking, especially considering we're a top-five offense.
Yeah.
In terms of yards. I mean, and that goes back to the old saying, defense wins games.
It does. It does.
You can't deny it. You look at the stat sheet, the Seahawks, who nobody would say is an offensive powerhouse, they put up 440 yards of offense against our 139. I mean, it completely takes away from the fact that McCoy actually broke the Eagles' all-time rushing record.
Yeah, this wasn't a good game for him to do that.
No, it wasn't, because there was no fanfare because you're losing to the Super Bowl champs.
Yep. You know, it's just one of those games that you just got to accept, you swallow, and you just move on.
Well, they have to move on. They got to play Dallas next week.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, the Seahawks are in that upper echelon when it comes to, you know, football playing. They're up there with the Packers.
They're top two, as far as I'm concerned. They are. They're one of the elite. You know, you have this handful of teams that are basically untouchable. The Patriots, the Packers, the Seahawks, and maybe the Broncos. Those teams are the elite. You don't really win many games against them. So,
right.
But still, this was a shocking one. 13% conversion rate on third down for the Eagles.
Yep, that kills you.
That, I mean,
You don't get any second chances after that.
Yeah, they were 2 for 11. I mean, you can't win a game with that. And also with this, 42 minutes is how long the Seahawks held the ball. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah,
at that point,
you can't score if you don't have the ball.
You can't. Yeah, I mean, forget about red. You know, we complained last week about red zone offense. Yeah, they didn't have a chance.
Yeah,
they couldn't move the ball. Just like what's his face said, couldn't do diddly squat.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Herm Edwards wanted to talk, too. He didn't want Jim Moore hogging the sound clips for today.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just, this game depressed me. I mean, I knew they were going to lose, but they performed so, like, they didn't put up a fight. That's the thing that I want. Even if we lose, you want to see them at least put up a fight.
Well, to be honest with you, they were in it. They were hanging with them 7-7 for most of the first half.
That's true. I mean, you know,
would you rather have this or would you have had the blowout with the Packers? I thought that was more embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, these were embarrassing for different reasons, really. You know, I mean, against the Packers, we didn't do much, but this, we didn't do anything. 139 yards, that's, in today's NFL, that's nothing, where teams are averaging 400 yards a game. You know, it's not just the yardage thing, it's third down conversion, we couldn't hold on to the ball, we couldn't stop Russell Wilson. I mean, every aspect of the game.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass.
The Eagles should have just hired Jim Mora to do the press conference for this game, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you were right. For the first half, they hung in there. It was, you know, 10-7 going into halftime, which, you know, that's, you know, where you want to be. You want to stay close, but the offense was just completely ineffective. Yeah. And if you remember, those first 7 points came on a very short field.
Yeah, it did.
So, I mean, if they have to drive, the point that I'm making is that they never really drove at all down the field,
no.
Which is troubling because that's what we've been concerned about all year. Early in the year, all the turnovers and special teams, they gave us quick scores. But can this offense string together an 11-play drive?
No, this offense isn't built for that.
I don't think it is. And that's going to be their downfall in the playoffs when it comes to that, I think.
Yeah.
Because teams like the Packers and the Seahawks, you're going to have to string together multiple first downs to beat them. You can't just depend on those quick one-off scores.
Right.
It's not going to work.
It's too unreliable.
It is, yeah.
But now moving on from here, the Eagles are 9-4, I believe.
Yeah, they're still in a very good position.
Yeah.
I mean, 9-4 is not, you know, that's a very good record for this point in the season.
Right. The only key is that their final three games are going to be all against division opponents.
Right.
Where do you see the next three games?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. I think we win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't know which one we're going to lose because there's a valid argument to be made for each one. But division opponents are always tough, and I have a feeling there's going to be some sort of trick or trap somewhere in there. Maybe maybe they underestimate the Redskins and we just get completely shocked like we did against the Vikings last year. Or do you have the schedule on you?
Well, guess what? I've got the answer for you.
Oh, you have the answer for me?
I have the answer for you.
Okay, what's the answer?
What
is the definitive answer?
This is definitely a definitive answer, all right?
Okay.
I put together the schedule.
Oh, that's right.
On the whiteboard I have at work.
Yeah, you sent me that.
You know, this is important things we do at work. And I would mark every win in green.
Right.
And I would mark every loss in red.
Right.
And when I put it on together on the whiteboard, I noticed a pattern.
Yeah.
All right. And you can look it up for yourself. With the exception of the first three games,
okay,
which were all wins for the Eagles follow this pattern. They win two games, then lose the next one. Win two games, lose the next one.
So you're saying we beat Dallas and who's next? The Redskins after Dallas, and then lose to the Giants.
I believe so. I think that's what's going to happen. We're gonna be all revved up because we don't want to lose to the Cowboys,
right? Well, and that's
hatred rival.
It's for the division too.
Yeah,
so that's a must win.
So I think we're gonna come out fiery and we're gonna beat Dallas at home,
right?
Then Washington is just a mess beyond all belief. They don't even know who their quarterback is.
Oh,
RG3 might be leaving by the end of this year. Things are that bad.
That is the perfect definition of a franchise in disarray.
Yeah. So we'll win Washington.
But then
week 17, the Giants, I think that's the perfect trap game.
The other thing is both those games are back-to-back road games.
Right.
At the end of the year, cold weather. I know the Eagles are a cold weather team, but it's always tough.
Yeah.
You know?
So with that in mind, I'm saying the Eagles are going to go 11-5 to finish out the year.
Yeah, I think 11-5 is – I mean, that's what we said at the beginning of the year, right? We said 10-6, 11-5.
I think my original prediction was 9-7 or 10-6. So they're doing better than my prediction.
Well, the win was the Colts. That was the one that we didn't expect them to win.
Yeah,
that's the one where we said 10-6. That was the 6.
Right.
But they won that one, so now 11-5.
Yeah, they should.
Hypothetically, yes.
All right. Well, you know what? We're already doing some predictions. So why not launch into our staple of the sports sampler during the NFL season that we call the Fantastic Four Picks? Yep, we are now in Fantastic Four Pick mode. We have four games on the docket for week
15.
15?
I think.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. This season's flying by.
It's getting to the end of the year, I know, yeah.
Well, what we do is we have four of the games that we think are going to be the closest in the upcoming week, and we'll give you our predictions on them. So, Mike, what's our first one for week 15?
This week is extra special because we have all division rivalry games.
Woo!
So the first one, and I have to make a note, breaking news right before we recorded this, that Johnny Manziel will be starting for the Browns as they as the Bengals come into town. So I don't know if that affects your pick or not, Rich. Right. But the Bengals are traveling to Cleveland to face off against the Johnny Manziel-led Browns Sunday, December 14th at 1 p.m. Who do you got for this one?
All right. Well, Manziel will be an exciting playmaker.
Yeah, he's definitely going to change things up.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see him out on the field instead of pitiful Hoyer. He was just not getting the job done. But nevertheless, the Cincinnati Bengals are in the thick of trying to maintain their lead in the division. You know, I know that Cleveland won the first game. I'm going to hope that with the way most division series are, that this splits and Cincinnati takes the win here. I can't trust Cleveland. The bottom line is I can't trust Cleveland.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that I had been leaning towards the Browns, but Johnny Manziel worries me. I don't know why, but something about me, he just reminds me very much of a Tim Tebow-type quarterback with a lot of hype around him, but not much substance to it. You know, and again, the Browns, they play well, but they gave up such a heartbreaking loss to the Colts this past week. You know, they had it right there at the end of the game. If they had just stopped them, they would have won. It shows that they can't close out games. Like you said, maybe the division or maybe the series will split. So, you know, I'm going to go with the Bengals on this one.
All right. What does Bruno say?
JB, my brother and our associate producer, he says Bengals as well. So it's a sweep for the Bengals.
All right.
Coming up next, we have an AFC West division rivalry as the Broncos travel to San Diego to face off against the Chargers. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
All right. This is an interesting one. Nice divisional matchup in the AFC West. The Chargers are kind of surging right now. But you know what? The Denver Broncos have really retransformed themselves. All right. This team can both run and pass now. And you know what? Something tells me that Peyton Manning is going to want to step up his game after a pitiful performance last week where he had to rely on the run because he threw a very costly pick in last week's game. I think he's going to turn it up a notch. I say Denver Broncos take the win in this one.
All right. You know, this is a tough one. The Chargers usually play their very best football in December and January. I mean, Rivers has an absurd 33-6 record in these 2 months. But, you know, I say this all the time. I don't really trust the Chargers. This year has been a reversal of that normal trend. Usually they start off shaky and then they get better. This year they started off with like 5 straight wins.
They were 5-2 at one point.
Yeah, and Rivers had a quarterback rating of 100 plus for those 5 games. But if you look at his quarterback rating throughout the past couple of weeks, it's been slipping and sliding. You know, he picked it up a little bit, but not much. And the Broncos outranked the Chargers in nearly every category. Finally, the Chargers have only, this is an interesting fact, since Peyton Manning has taken over, the Chargers have only beaten the Broncos once. So I'm going with the Broncos.
All right, and what does Bruno say?
JB agrees. He's going with the Broncos, so it's a sweep for the Broncos as well. You know, Peyton Manning's going to be comfortable in that warm weather going into San Diego. So
yeah, he won't be at a disadvantage.
No, I don't think he will either. But maybe the 49ers will be at a disadvantage as they travel to Seattle. This one, everyone talks about this one, this matchup, 49ers at Seattle. Rich, what do you think?
This one is actually relatively easy for me.
Yeah.
The 49ers are just sinking beyond all belief. They just lost to the Raiders, all right?
Yeah.
They're done. They're actually, I think it's safe to say they're done. They're not even going to be in playoff contention after this game. Seattle's going to win this one.
Yeah, this is a really easy one. I mean, the only reason it's on here is because it's a division rivalry. But you know what? More than that, the 49ers have some internal turmoil going on there. There's talks about the coach being fired. You know, the 49ers have fallen so far from grace this year. I don't know what happened there, but Seattle rarely loses at home. They're going to be fired up after a big win against the Eagles, one of the top tier teams. So I'm going with the Seahawks on this one. And you know what? JB thinks this is super easy as well. He's going with the Seahawks as well. Oh my gosh, we're all picking similar. We've got to change this up somehow. Maybe we'll have different opinions on this one. The Dallas Cowboys come into Philly to get some brotherly love maybe from their division rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. Rich, how do you feel about this primetime game? It's a Sunday night game. It's going to be good.
I'm going with my pattern that I figured out. I really am. I think the Eagles are going to be fired up against the hated division rival. They'll win this one. They'll win the one against the crappy Redskins, and then they'll blow the one at the week 17 at the Giants. I really think that's how it's going to happen. So for this one, I'm going with the Eagles. Go Eagles.
Yeah, you know what? I really want the Eagles to win this game. I mean, part of me thinks that the Cowboys are going to win it because apparently there's a trend where the team to lose to the Seahawks lose their very next game as well. But the Eagles, up until this past week, had won 10 straight home games. They're really good at home, which is weird because they used to be really bad at home. And, you know, the Eagles have never lost back-to-back game this year, as you pointed out with your trend. It's for the division. They know that weight is on them. They got to step it up. And you know what? I think they're going to be angry. They're going to attack the Cowboys. Tony Romo, there's questions about whether he has a fractured rib or not. I think the Eagles might be able to pull this one off. I think there's a big statement game. The Eagles need to make this statement. It's not a matter of if they could or should. They need to do this. So I'm going with the Eagles. And you know what? JB agrees. The Eagles have got to win this one.
All right. And there you go. Those are our Week 15 picks for Fantastic Four segment. Yeah, there we go.
We picked all the same teams.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Well, we really do these independently.
We do. I mean, in all fairness, I changed my Cleveland pick at the end because of the Johnny Manziel thing. I don't trust Manziel. I'm sorry.
Wait, were you going to go with the Browns with Hoyer?
I was going to go with the Browns with Hoyer, yeah.
Why? Hoyer's horrible.
Because the Bengals...
No offense to you, Mr. Hoyer.
The Bengals are the only division leader with negative net points.
Wow.
Yeah, other than the Falcons. That's not good company to be. You know what that says to me? That says to me that they're not outplaying their opponents if they have negative net points on the year as a division leader.
True.
So I really don't like either of these teams. I want the underdog to win, but I just don't see it.
I also have one more point of contention just to point out before we close out this break. Although this is kind of the battle for first place for the NFC East between the Cowboys and the Eagles, don't forget, as of right now, and should be after this game, the Eagles have most tiebreakers over the Cowboys. So as long as the Eagles maintain the same pace with the Cowboys, we're fine.
Unless the Cowboys outpace us.
Right.
Which is why this win is crucial.
But the Cowboys have to face Indianapolis in week 16.
Indy's a soft team, though.
You think so?
I do. Their division is awful, Rich. Jacksonville and Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at it, they're a very soft, what are they, 8-4, I think?
The Colts?
Or 8-5? Can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember what they are.
But when they're playing the Texans, the Titans, and the, can't even remember the other team.
Texans?
The Jaguars.
Did you say Texans?
The Texans, okay. Yeah. Texans, Titans, and Jags. That's a really weak division. When you look at some of the other divisions, I don't know if Indy has proven themselves yet. They have a great offense, but they struggled against the Browns. They barely won that one.
Okay.
So, but, you know, you're right. They might give Dallas a tough time because we saw Dallas falls to dynamic offenses. So,
right. We'll
see.
But, I'm just saying, if the Eagles lose... Don't push the panic button.
Right.
Because
the series will be split between the Eagles and Dallas.
And Dallas is one game behind us in the division rankings because they choked a game to the Redskins.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, those last two road games.
Yeah, those are going to matter.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. If they lose to Dallas, those two road games are heavily going to matter all of a sudden.
Yes, that's why they're going to win, right?
Yeah, that's why I think they're going to win.
But either way...
We have to keep the pattern going.
That's right. All hail the mighty pattern.
Yes. Some people believe in God. Some people believe in science.
I believe in patterns.
In the pattern God, whatever.
Well, patterns are science.
Yeah, so, science,
bitch.
Yeah, there you go.
Breaking Bad. The point is, though, the last 3 weeks of the season are going to be amazing.
Yes, they are. They always are.
Basically, all the games are division games because the NFL scheduling committee or whatever, they are just dead set on pushing these teams to the very last week.
Well, yeah, that's because they knew teams were resting up players and
well, we were just talking about this earlier. Peyton Manning, when he played for the Colts, they went 13-0. He sat 3 games at the end of the year.
Yeah. It's like the Peyton Manning rule.
You're throwing away games there.
Yeah.
Hey, nobody wants to watch that.
No.
So, but anyway, I digress.
Yeah, that's another conversation. Maybe 2 weeks from now.
We'll see.
We'll see if anybody's benching their starters heading into week 17 And if they are, we'll give you our opinions on it. Obviously, you can tell.
Yeah, you one can of tell. Us we'll be very like vocal.
Yeah. So we'll come to that bridge when we cross it. But for right now, we've got to take a break. But coming up next is our entertainment entree. We'll have what's new in entertainment, as well as a couple of big news headlines from Sony Pictures Entertainment. A very shocking story indeed.
Oh, yeah, you're going to want to stick around for that one.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. Hey, we'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A woman has been accused of stealing more than $6,400 worth of sausage from her employer.
Sausage!
Oh, God.
45-year-old Regina Shaw was arrested on Tuesday and charged with felony theft for an alleged sausage heist that took place at the Kielbasa Provision Company where she was employed. Surveillance footage allegedly recorded Shaw taking a, quote, pallet of meat product from her place of work.
Pallet? What? Jeez.
Yeah.
She's making it off with a lot of meat.
She then allegedly tried to sell a portion of the meat to a man named Peter Medlin.
Why?
Yeah, I guess.
Is this like an elaborate meat heist?
Yeah. Medlin identified Shaw in a photo lineup and told police that he accepted, quote, more kielbasa as payment for a loan he had given her. Mike, this might be your new venture.
Oh, my gosh. I'll be the sausage loan shark.
Yeah.
Sausages!
You either pay us in money or sausages.
Sausages!
Well,
I love that there's like this underground sausage trading ring.
Yep.
It's like the criminal world of sausage.
Son of a bitch, you don't want the sausages. I don't know what I can do.
The guy was like, hey, you owe me a little bit of money. And she's like, I got all types of goddamn sausages.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, ready to go with our next segment here on the show, where we'll talk about the latest in TVs, movies, video games, celebrities, and all that jazz. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. All that entertaining stuff, if you will.
That's right, because it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Isolated.
What was that?
That was isolated vocals of Mariah Carey at God. The
That woman needs to take
the holiday thing at White House. What do they do at the White House?
I don't know, but that was excellent research.
Yeah.
The holiday thing at White House. I guess they had a holiday concert party thing.
I guess so. Well, anyway.
That was awful.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot. I make it – part of my favorite pastime is to watch goats screaming on YouTube so you can figure out.
So make my wish come true. It's baby all I want for Christmas is you.
Right there, her
it's
voice
so
cracks.
Bad. We sing better than that. I mean, come on. We do.
I mean, that, I don't know. That
was so, I hate vocal runs. There's absolutely no point to doing them.
I just don't understand why you just can't
sing
it.
Yeah.
Like, why does it have to be drawn out? Like,
it's very in. Vocal runs are in. If you ever watch any of the singing shows, that's all they do. It's like, I don't know, they think of it as some metric of how talented they are at manipulating their voice, but it sounds absolutely stupid to me. It really does. I just got really angry right there.
All the word is I-S.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like,
yes. It's so obnoxious.
Like,
come
on. And then obviously her voice cracks right in the middle.
Yeah,
of,
she's
of
like, she had to. Did you hear? She was like,
"Yeah, there is
you, Christmas." It's so bad. Does that sound good, people? It doesn't. You cannot tell me that sounds good. If you can look me in the face and say without cracking up that it was good singing, then I will agree it was good singing. But you can't because it wasn't.
For Christmas is you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of yous too. She's like, you, and you.
She's
you.
Oprah Winfrey.
And you
get a car, and you get a car, and you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
To prove a point, I'm going to do the rest of the show in vocal runs.
Oh, God.
Rich is like, and I quit.
And we just lost everybody who's listening to this podcast.
It's so bad. I hate that type of singing. It's so bad.
Well, apparently, if you want to check this out yourself, just Google Mariah Carey's holiday performance and you'll find the isolated, unedited vocals.
Oh, my gosh.
Where she
thank God for sound technicians, right? Sound engineers.
Yeah. Because that's...
to clean that crap up.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Yeah. Hope she's paying that guy extra. She's like, here, make the sound better. How about don't do it?
I just love there's that crack you can hear.
Yeah. And she was like so out of breath doing it too. She was like, you, and then cracks and clears her throat. It just sounded bad.
Yeah. Like, just
was that live or was that a recording?
It was live.
It was live.
But
okay.
Like, why can't you just sing?
Just sing, yeah.
All I want for Christmas is you. Like, just standard stuff. Why do we have to go reaching different octaves and come on.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us your I did a lot of vocal runs. Go ahead. You give us your rendition.
The way she was sounding, it was like, oh, and there was also Christmas. Like, there's not
she's
that much of an accent on the ma in Christmas.
Yeah, and she's inventing notes too.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It was just bad. I was sitting here. I mean, obviously people can't see, but I'm mouthing like, what the F are you playing, Rich?
Well, there you go. Mariah Carey's most recent holiday performance didn't really go over well with the critics.
What are you talking about? It just went platinum.
Especially with this isolated, unedited vocals that hit YouTube. Just Google it. You should be able to find it if you want to check it out more.
Yikes.
Yeah. Let's get to the next part of the show.
This Week in Entertainment. You forget what word it was halfway through.
Like, yeah, what word?
Was I saying a word?
What word were you trying to say?
I was trying
there?
To say This Week in Entertainment.
Okay, there you go.
But I added like 14 syllables.
Yeah, I had no
it
idea.
It was entertainment.
Sounds like Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, but anyway, so, you know, we do this segment.
Oh, durka. What?
But let's get back on track. Unlike Mariah Carey. Get it?
Yep.
Good one. Anyway, thank you. this is a segment we do just to keep you guys up to date with the things that are going on in the entertainment world. This Week in Entertainment, there's a new movie coming out, limited release, but it sounds like a really good one. It's called Inherent Vice. It is a crime, a comedy crime drama, which sounds like a really interesting genre to me. It is about a drug-fueled private detective who must solve the case of his missing ex-lover and her billionaire real estate boyfriend. It's got a loaded cast. Reese Witherspoon, Josh Brolin, Joaquin Phoenix, Owen Wilson, and a whole bunch of others. Martin Short, Maya Rudolph. I mean, it's got so many great actors and actresses in it. And it's currently got an 84 out of 100 on Metacritic. So this is just a limited release this week. But if a theater near you is showing it, it might be a good under-the-radar film to check out. It looks funny. I checked out a trailer online and it looks pretty funny. So,
Inherent Vice.
Yeah, Inherent Vice. So if you're a fan of the 70s, it's set in the 70s. If you're a fan of the 70s or like quirky, cop dramas, this might be one to check out. So that's the big movie news going on this week.
Can I also add one more thing?
Of course you can.
I just realized this. I didn't, added onto our outline. I'm sorry.
That's fine. What? That's what we do here.
Yeah.
That's we it. Just throw things in there, right?
Right. So take it as you will. But there is something that I have to mention, and that is the next Bond movie officially has a new title.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I'm super excited about it.
It's
I have
not
to,
Bond's I have, 24 anymore, is it?
No, not anymore. We actually have a name. It's going to be Spectre,
ooh,
which I am thrilled about.
Yeah? Why are you thrilled about it?
Well, Spectre, for those who don't know, is a secret, villainous, apolitical organization in previous Ooh. Bond films.
Nice.
But what they're going to try and do is they're going to try and bring it into the 21st century, and I think it could really work out well.
It already sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
I like it. I love the name Spectre.
Right.
It's just a badass name.
Yeah.
It's very ominous and ghostly. Sorry.
A teaser poster has already been released featuring a bullet hole going through glass, which I'm excited. I don't know why that makes me excited.
All right.
Ooh, bullet hole.
I thought there was going to be some deeper meaning to it. You're like, the glass was shot. And like, anyway.
Like in a Bond movie.
Like in a Bond movie.
But because it's for a Bond movie, I don't know. It seems like it's to the nth degree. It could be anything.
Yeah, I know. And you're such a huge James Bond fan.
Right. So.
So
to me, like, this is crazy.
In all fairness, the recent James Bond movies have been really good.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, Daniel Craig is back. But also they have brought in Christoph Waltz.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could make a really good Bond villain.
He always steals the show in whatever movie he's in.
And Batista, the wrestler Batista,
wow.
The guy who played Drax
the
Destroyer.
Right. Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Right. He is going to be one of the featured henchmen.
Nice. And that fits him perfectly, I think.
Yeah. So.
Who knows? Maybe he could become another version of The Rock.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, he's trying to follow in The Rock's footsteps, yeah. Essentially.
And I
As a matter of fact, The Rock actually tweeted congratulations to him.
Nice. That's nice. And, you know, I loved him in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was so good.
Yeah.
His character was hilarious. So I can't wait to see what he does in Spectre.
Spectre is the new movie.
There you go.
So there you go. I'm excited. The new Bond movie officially having a title called Spectre to be released in November Ooh. Of next year. And then after that, Star Wars comes out in December. I might as well just live at the movie theater
Look,
next year.
You got,
folks, I'm announcing my retirement for like 2 months.
Look, you got
in 2015.
You got the Avengers 2. You got Jurassic World. You have Star Wars Episode 7. You got
a new Bond
Spectre,
movie,
and I'm sure there's a new Pixar movie coming out. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other ones in there. 2015, it's going to be all movies all the time.
Yep.
Can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
So I figure I needed to talk about that.
All right.
Sorry for throwing a sudden curveball.
No, it works perfectly. This Week in Entertainment, that was one of the major announcements. Another major announcement is Sony recently threw a big extravaganza called PlayStation Experience in Las Vegas, where they announced a whole bunch of new games, and they demoed some previously announced games. So make sure you go check out all the coverage on the PlayStation blog. But some key points: they announced a new God of War is in development, and that it's not going to be a prequel game. This is huge because there's been rumors swirling. What are they working on? Could they be working on a new God of War game? Well, it turns out, yes, that a new God of War game is in the works. So we'll have to see. Yeah,
we got a trophy for that.
So we'll have to see if they continue on Kratos' story or maybe go to a different mythology. People are thinking Norse mythology is a cool one. So we'll see what they do with the God of War franchise. Another major announcement, a lot of indie games coming to PlayStation 4 in 2015. Bastion, which is a hugely popular indie game. The Forest, an open-world survival horror game. And Broken Age by the developer Double Fine, who put out the underrated, I can't remember what it's called, the one with Jack Black. Do you remember that one where he fought with the guitar?
Yeah, the
Brutal Legend. Brutal Legend.
Yeah. One about all the metal songs and everything.
Yeah, that was a good one. Underrated one. So, yeah, a new game by that developer. And also, big news here, Street Fighter V, one of the biggest fighting franchises, one that changed the fighting genre in video games. Street Fighter V is going to be console exclusive to PlayStation 4. That means if you're planning on getting an Xbox, you will not be able to play Street Fighter V. It's not timed. It is just straight up exclusive to PS4.
Ooh, that hurts for Xbox users.
It does, and this is striking back at Xbox because Microsoft had announced that the next Tomb Raider game was a timed exclusive for Xbox. So Sony said, fine, you get a timed exclusive, we get a full exclusive. So this is interesting because you don't usually see third-party games be completely exclusive anymore.
Yeah.
Which this is a major coup for Sony. They're really trying to win this generation of game consoles.
Yep.
So, yeah, a trophy for them. So those are some of the major announcements of PlayStation Experience. Go check out all the news where you can also find a gameplay trailer for Uncharted 4, 15-minute gameplay trailer, and a short trailer for No Man's Sky, which is another amazing open-world science fiction game coming out next year. But we're going to use this talk about video games to transition into another discussion on video games. Even with all the excitement, there is still a troubling trend in video games that's been going on. That is developers rushing to release broken games to market. We've seen notable high-profile games come out that were just completely broken. Games like Battlefield 4, Little Big Planet 3, the Master Chief, the Halo Master Chief Collection, Assassin's Creed Unity, and Drive Club have all released this past year. Battlefield 4 came out last year, but, you know, within a year's time, and have been completely and utterly broken, portions of the game being completely unplayable. And this isn't just small things. These are big things, like Assassin's Creed Unity. Core gameplay features were broken.
Yeah, we're not talking about, like, random glitches here.
Yeah, this is... You know, lag being so bad that you can't move your character. Four-player co-op was, you know, highlighted as one of the major components of the game, and Ubisoft recently said that one workaround to fixing the problems in the game is to disable online play.
Which,
after they said that was a major component of the game, but the game will only work if you disable it.
Yeah.
I mean, does that not seem backwards to you? And the biggest offender, Drive Club. This is a game that was supposed to come out and launch with the PlayStation 4. It was supposed to be free for all PlayStation Plus users, but it was delayed an entire year. It came out, and it was completely broken due to, of all things, bad code. This seems like something they should have caught in that year of extra time.
Yeah.
And
there's no excuse for it.
There's no excuse for it. And as of the recording of this podcast, 3 months after its release, which was already delayed a year, there is still no online version of the game to purchase. You can buy physical disc copies, but they pulled it from the PlayStation Store because it's so broken. And they're offering refunds to people that ask for them. This is a catastrophe for video games.
Yeah.
And these are big...
It's a very troubling trend.
It is. And these are big-name games. This is Halo and Assassin's Creed and Battle Mech.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah, that's what players are saying when they buy these games for $50, $60 a pop.
Yeah, and sometimes
and they're
more,
not working.
Sometimes more, because there are now, you know, another big trend in video games is special editions, limited yeah. editions. So you might have paid $80, $90 for this game and have it be completely broken, as is the case with Assassin's Creed Unity. What do you think about this, Rich? This is a really troubling sign, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse. I mean, in the month of October and November, all these games were released that were broken. Assassin's Creed, Halo, Drive Club, Little Big Planet, all these games were released broken in the past 2 months.
No! I mean, yeah, the problem here is that they're not double checking everything. They're being forced to rush all these games out as soon as they can.
Yeah.
And they're forgetting the basics.
The issue here is that it's more important to hit that release date, especially before Christmas, because that's when they make most of their sales. And they think that they can just patch it afterwards. How many times do you pop in a new game and have to download
a huge patch?
Games never used to be that way.
No. When you had cartridges, that was the game. That's it.
Even the PlayStation 2 era. I mean, think about games, huge games like Grand Theft Auto. They had their bugs and everything, but they were playable.
Yeah.
You know?
The game itself needs to be playable.
Yeah, there were never game-ending bugs like in Little Big Planet 3 where you cannot physically progress if you forget to do something. I mean, that ruins the point of the game. You can't actually play it after a certain point. And they have other problems with save files not transferring over, because Little Big Planet's all about user-created content, and you get, you know, I'll create all these levels and costumes, and it doesn't transfer over properly. So people are losing, you know, 5-6 years of work in Little Big Planet 1 and 2. I mean, this is a huge issue, and I don't see it ever getting better unless people stop pre-ordering games. That's the only way to stop it. Because
I just wish that the video game industry could take a lesson from Ken Levine. BioShock.
He delayed it like 4 times.
He was willing to delay his game, you know, multiple times because he knew he didn't get the game 100% correct.
That's right. And, you know, it paid off.
And it paid off.
That game was
Game of the Year.
Game of the Year. And you know what? It was pretty damn close to perfect.
Yeah.
You know, a few hiccups here or there, but, I mean, that's the way games are. Other than that, it was perfect. Everything worked.
Now, unfortunately, Ken Levine has that power because, obviously, he created the BioShock franchise.
Not many developers have that power. That's the thing.
Yeah. These indie, especially these indie developers and these...
Well, the indie developers, oddly enough, they release really complete games. It's these big guys like Ubisoft that have the problems.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, you know, they're, you know, EA especially. EA and Ubisoft, they're the two biggest developers / publishers, and they're all business all the time. They want to push those games out as quick as possible.
But it's not worth it if you can't play the game.
Yeah, because you hurt your brand, really.
Yeah.
You know? And these developers, and the bottom line is that their brand is being hurt. In Assassin's Creed Unity, because of the issues, Ubisoft is offering free downloadable content to every owner of the game.
Because they got to make up for it.
They have to. Everybody that had purchased the game, they're getting what was supposed to be a $15 DLC for free. I mean, that's what they have to do to make it up to people. Drive Club, they did the same thing, putting out huge amounts of free DLC to try and make it up to people.
But it doesn't if I can't play the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can't play the game. So is that not enough then?
No, it's not enough if I can't play the game.
So I guess really the only thing gamers want is first an apology and second a playable game.
Yeah, fix the game. Then give me the downloadable content.
Exactly. Fix the game and then give us the DLC. Or preferably don't release the game until it's ready.
Yeah, that's what really should be done. Make sure the game works before you send it out.
You know, and
game testing.
This was not an issue until, you know, even the PlayStation 3 era was pretty good with
this. Yeah.
But recently, especially the past 2 months, I mean, I wouldn't be bringing...
Quality control. Why isn't there a team on this?
Yeah, and they're huge studios.
Yeah.
This isn't a two-man indie team. You know, this is a team of 400 or 500 developers across the entire globe in terms right. of I think Assassin's Creed had like 600 people working on it,
and nobody bothered to check the glitch that happens when you fall into the hay stand or whatever.
Yeah, I was telling you about this. One of the gameplay mechanics is obviously you're an assassin. You have to be stealthy and hide. And one of the
not my cup of tea.
I know, not your cup of tea. But one of the ways you can hide in Assassin's Creed games, it's been this way for like 5, 6, 7 games now, is you jump off of buildings into hay bales. But in Assassin's Creed Unity, when you jump into the hay bale, you can't get out of it.
You're stuck
You're
there.
You're stuck in it forever.
Boy, that's stealthy.
Yeah, exactly. So stealthy, you refuse to move.
Yeah.
But the point is that if you're playing a mission and you get stuck in a hay bale, guess what? You got to restart. And you can't touch hay bales then. Because then you'll have to restart every single time.
Yeah. 600 people involved in the project in this game, and nobody noticed that.
A key gameplay mechanic. That would be like if you're playing Call of Duty and you couldn't fire guns.
Yeah. Maybe I can talk soldiers to death.
Well, there's some games that do that too.
But maybe I can stick a flower in the gun and maybe they'll believe that I'm here for peace.
Yeah, Peace Simulator 2015.
Yeah,
that's the game I want to see.
Peace Simulator. Advanced flowers.
Advanced flowers. Yeah. Use the most advanced bouquets of roses and tulips to combat evil and war. Place flowers all over your victims of peace.
Call of Flowers. Floral edition. Call of Peace, floral edition.
Nice. If you pre-order, you get a special camouflaged colored rose to use in combat. That's the other thing, is pre-orders. I mean, that
ooh,
is...
Ooh, you get lilacs!
Yeah, well,
hello!
A lot of games do. They give you cosmetic bonuses for pre-ordering the game. The problem is, the developer gets your money ahead of time, and they don't have to put out a good game because they've already got your $60.
Yeah, you pre-ordered it.
Yeah, and I admit, I like to pre-order stuff if they give you something special, like BioShock gave you the soundtrack. I'm pre-ordering that so I can get the soundtrack. But also because I know BioShock is going to be a complete playable game when it comes out.
But Which is what all video game studios should strive for.
It seems like a really basic concept, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they're having trouble with it.
But I mean, make the game playable. I mean, that shouldn't have to be a goal. That should be a given.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the game should be playable. That shouldn't be like goal number one, make sure you can play it. That should be a given. Perfect.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's a perfect transition right here into probably the biggest fail of the week.
Yeah, this is pretty serious.
This is very, very serious. All joking aside, I don't know if you guys have heard the most catastrophic and historic hacking of Sony Pictures Entertainment. It's being labeled as unprecedented. Let me tell you what happened. A rogue hacking group hacked nearly, they obtained 100 terabytes of data.
Terabytes.
A terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes. You're looking at 100,000 gigabytes of data. Think about how many laptops full of data that is, okay? You know, I think, Rich, your laptop has what?
One terabyte.
1 terabyte. They stole 100 of your laptops.
Woo!
Filled to bursting with personal data. You want to know what they got?
Not my search history. Oh, dear God.
Oh, God, no.
That would not be good.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, baby. You're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Yeah, it's filled with all Fine Bros videos.
You don't want to know my search history.
No, it's fine. It's just filled with all Fine Bros videos, right?
I know it's something to do with sex.
Pornhub. What? Excuse me.
What?
But anyway, no.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
No, what the hackers got was much, much worse than some dirty search history. That's what private browsing is for anyway, Rich.
Incognito.
Incognito.
Incognito
yeah.
mode.
For those of you that use Chrome.
Let's be honest. Come on. The only reason Chrome invented incognito mode was for porn. It really is. What other function?
There's if you go into your history, you can delete individual items in your history, and when you go to delete it, it says, psst, next time use incognito mode, and it gives you the keyboard shortcut.
Yeah, like it actually tells you, yeah, idiot. You and, know we have this function.
And I found that out completely random. I was not deleting any browsing history for any reason whatsoever.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Of course you were, Mike.
No. Only wholesome crispy noodle research, Rich. That's the only thing that I use my laptop for.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Okay.
All right, well, back on task. What these hackers stole, this was shameful on their part. They stole, get ready for this. I'm going to start with the small things and work my way up to the big things that they got. They got things like criminal background checks, employee complaint records, salary negotiations. But they also stole very important things like medical records, social security numbers. But get this, they also got their hands on unreleased movie and TV scripts and even entire unreleased movies that they have been releasing online now for download.
Yeah, so these are movies that were already edited, finalized.
Yep.
We're going to be released for early 2015, and these hackers are already releasing them.
Yeah, this is just devastating for Sony. This just kills them, absolutely kills them. But this story is really strange because the hacking group responsible for it is the GOP. So let that sink in for a second. I'm not talking about the political party. I'm talking about the Guardians of Peace. They actually have demands, Rich. Did you know that? They have...
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown.
Oh, it's not that GOP.
No, not that GOP. But the GOP, the Guardians of Peace, have issued demands to Sony. I've never seen anything like this. They're demanding that Sony pull their soon-to-be-released movie, The Interview, starring Seth Rogen and James Franco in a movie where they attempt to assassinate Kim Jong-un.
Praise the glorious leader. Ah, it's your boy.
That's right. That's right. It gets even stranger. Listen to this statement that the
Praise the glorious leader.
That the GOP made. The GOP released this statement, their demands.
Praise the glorious leader.
Just going to keep playing.
Are you a part of the GOP?
Yes. No.
Praise the glorious leader.
The NSA is going to come busting in here. But this is what the GOP sent. They said, and I'm reading this verbatim, so any weird grammar that is exactly as it's typed. Quote, we have already...
Praise the glorious leader.
Let me finish the quote for Christ's sake. They say, we have already given our clear demand to the management team of Sony. However, they have refused to accept. It seems that you think everything will be well if you find out the attacker, while no reacting to our demand. We are sending you our warning again. Do carry out our demand if you want to escape us, and stop immediately showing the movie of terrorism, which can break the regional peace and cause the war. So this has led people to believe that the North Korean government is behind the attack on
Praise
Sony.
Praise the glorious leader.
But get this. It gets even more convoluted because now the what? North Korean government has explicitly denied twice that they are behind the hacking. However, some believe that the hack they've traced, you know, quote unquote, traced it to either a 5-star hotel in Bangkok, Thailand, or one of the Koreas. And even though North Korea has repeatedly denied the attack, they have called it a righteous deed for trying to stop the movie The Interview.
So essentially they're saying, we didn't do it, but if it was us, that's awesome.
Yeah, basically.
Radical. Yeah, like that.
This is the worst cyber attack in the history of cyber attacks. One of the security people working on it called it unprecedented and said that the attack, the malware and spyware used, would not have been picked up by any standard industry software or preventative measures.
Curse you, technology!
Yeah, so this was this was very well thought out and executed. This is a professionally done job.
Wow.
This is devastating.
Yeah, I can't believe somebody would go this lengths to attack Sony Pictures.
Yeah.
Which kind of lends me to believe that North Korea had something to do with it.
It had to be North Korea. I mean, from the wording of the demand, it sounded like broken English. So it's not an English-speaking person that wrote it, obviously. And, you know, they said the it would, what, break the peace? What did it say? Yeah, break the regional peace and cause the war. Regional peace. They're demanding Sony to stop releasing the interview, and they talk of regional peace. That means Korea.
Yeah.
So I don't think South Korea would do this. So perhaps North Korea. This is like military, governmental-grade hacking. This isn't some Joe Schmo either.
Right.
Especially to get away with 100 terabytes of data.
That's a ridiculous amount to think about.
It is. I can't even wrap my head around it. You know? Yeah. I mean, everyone, pull out the phone that you're probably listening to this podcast on. You've got like 32, 64 gigabytes on that thing. It's thousands and thousands of that phone worth of data.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, right now they sell household hard drives of 1, 2, 3, 4 terabytes.
Yeah.
And they just hijacked, what was it, 100?
100 terabytes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And these are full-length unreleased movies. That's a shame. I feel bad for Sony Pictures.
Yeah, they're going to lose money on it.
They're going to lose a lot of money. And it sucks because Sony is struggling financially, too.
Yeah. Ugh. Bad mojo.
You know what, though? You know what worries me about this is that nobody is taking cybersecurity seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you noticed recently, like the past year and a half, it seems like every major department store has been hacked and like it's like, oh, everybody, your credit card numbers have been stolen. You know?
Yeah, and like people just treat it as, oh, as long as I don't see it in my bill, I'm all right.
But I mean, how do you stop it, you know? Wasn't Target hacked? I heard that Target had been breached for like 2 years straight before they discovered it.
Yeah, they were hacked. Did you hear about that one? PlayStation was hacked,
yeah.
Amazon was hacked. Weren't they hacked a couple months ago?
Oh, God, I hope not.
It was a while.
That's another one that I got to change my password for then. It seems like every other week I'm changing all my passwords. It's such a hassle. LinkedIn was hacked. Remember when that happened?
Yeah.
I hope you change your password for that, by the way.
Yeah, whoops.
Whoops. Oh, my gosh. It's a disaster. Is cybersecurity.
You're right. Every like 2 weeks, yeah, another one hits the newswire.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's nothing that we can do about it because it's these big companies that hold our data. There's nothing we can do about it other than not give them data. But then, how do we do things online?
Yeah, everything's done online: banking, shopping,
yeah,
checking,
entertainment. You watch movie and TV and play video games. You listen to music. People work online. I used to work from home completely online. You know, there's a VPN network, pretty secure, but you know, I don't know.
Right. You don't know.
You don't.
So I guess the overall message is be a little more secure in your online habits.
Yes.
Make sure you back up everything.
Yes. And make sure you change your passwords occasionally. I know it's a hassle, but...
And use incognito mode.
Yes,
most importantly. If you're doing your special searches. Wink, wink.
Special searches. Yeah. I like that. Special.
Yeah, Mike, it's a special search, right?
You know, when you're shopping for gifts for people, you don't want them to find out, so you use incognito mode.
Right. There's incognito mode.
All right, then. That sounded creepy. Creepy voice for a creepy topic.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Incognito mode. Google should release ads. Incognito mode for all your... special needs. Don't tell the wife and kids. Super creepy.
All right. Well, you know what?
Anyway.
On that note, we might need to take a break and clear our search histories.
Yeah, let me see. File, search history.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. In the meantime, while we're scrambling around to make sure that our search history isn't compromised, we'll also get ready for the non-fortune cookie odd news. We got a lot of good stories there, as well as a special name segment.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about this earlier. It seems like it could be pretty interesting.
Yeah. So coming up, the weirdest actual names given to babies in 2014.
Oh, man. I can't wait to hear these.
You're not going to want to miss it. So we're coming up here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man accused of robbing 4 Alabama Subway sandwich shops allegedly confessed that he needed revenge as a disgruntled customer because he was mad that the famous Jared diet didn't work for him and he needed his money back.
He got up to 4. How do you not catch the guy after two? Speaking from giant fat guys, we don't run fat.
Nope, no, we
the
don't.
The fact that he escaped from three, he's doing pretty good with his diet.
Because that is the new Subway diet. Cardio, rob Subway.
Jesus Christ.
Run away.
First of all, I'm so fat. The game planning, I would stop at the door of the first one. I'd be like, I'm sweating too much. I gotta go home.
Well, 18-year-old Zachary Torrance was arrested and charged with first-degree robbery.
Wait a minute. He's 18 years old and he's fat? He's just lazy. Wait till you're 30, Zachary.
Well, Torrance allegedly entered the Hueytown Subway store. He demanded the cashier open the register.
As he breathed heavily. Did you, hold on, give me a second. Can you, I should have brought a note. You know what? I'm just gonna go, can I just get a water first? Water. Oh, thanks. Holy shit, these things aren't even close to each other. You know what? Just call the cops. I'm done. I'm gonna sit and wait in the air. Is it cool if I wait in the air? I'm gonna wait in the air conditioner.
Torrance was arrested after a citizen saw the robbery footage and recognized the suspect from shopping at the Hueytown Walmart later that day.
Here's a shocker.
Yeah. Well, Torrance is currently in the jail on a $250,000 bond. There you go.
I should have wrote a note.
Would have been easier. You just slide it. You don't have to.
Here, read this. Read this. Can I get a cup of ice? Hold on, Jesus Christ. Torrance, what are your demands? This is the detective. Listen, I need a wet towel, a fan, a cup of ice, some juice would be nice.
Should have used the card, man. It would have been much easier.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, jamming out late at night. Oh, I love listening to music, especially like this, the new Black Keys album,
yeah.
Turn Blue. A little instrumental for you.
I love their like bluesy, like, but also it's like 70s-ish sound, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is one of their best songs on the album, Turn
yeah.
Blue.
Yeah.
It's actually called Turn Blue.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
don't do it by holding your breath, though. That's dangerous.
No, that's not good. Please don't hold your breath and actually turn blue.
How do we turn blue then, Rich?
Listen to Turn Blue.
Perfect advice.
Yep. We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Things, you know, have been a little bit eerie.
They have been. We were talking about this during the break. Talking about sort of sad things like Eric Berry and the Eagles losing and ragging on Mariah Carey.
And then Sony getting hacked.
Catastrophic hack. And then troubling trends in video games.
Yeah, a lot of trouble going on.
Yeah, we need something to pick us up, Rich.
That's right. Well, you know what? That's why we have our odd news segment, because
yes.
This will put a smile on your face.
It always does. It's my favorite segment, of course.
So let's launch into it. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Give me my juice box! I need my juice box! I say, give me it now!
All right, you got your juice box ready?
Yes, I do, and I need it because you teased before the break that we were going to be talking about the weirdest baby names?
Yeah, so here's what I came across. At the end of the year, there's always an article that comes out, like the most popular baby names,
right.
Most well-liked baby names.
It's always Michael. My name is the best.
Okay.
well, no, I mean, legitimately, my name is one of the most common names.
Yeah.
In high school, we had like 7 Michaels,
right.
Didn't we?
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I figured, you know, that's not funny enough, you know, popular
yeah.
names.
No, it's like yeah. Brandon. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. No offense to any Brandons out there. Just a random name I picked out.
All right. There you go. Mike thinks Brandons are funny.
No. Well, I was saying normal names aren't funny, though. But
they aren't funny.
These aren't normal names.
Okay. Yeah. So I have in my hand a list of weird baby names of 2014. These are real names that were actually given to kids in 2014.
This has all been confirmed, right?
Yes, all confirmed. Okay. By the website babycenter.com.
Okay.
So this is all legit.
I can't wait to hear these because you know I love weird names. We had that one odd news story where the person Cherry's Waffles.
Yeah, that was her real name, Cherry's Waffles.
What'd she steal, like a harpoon gun or something?
Yeah, she stole it. Yeah.
I mean, but the
that
thing
was a crazy
but
one.
The thing that cracked me up the most was the name Cherry's Waffles.
Yep.
It was so strange. But these are baby names, right?
Yeah.
So these are brand new names for 2014. So going into 2015, you can start using these names. That's the gist of it.
Yeah. Just give credit to the Crispy Noodle, all
right? That's right, yeah. Call your baby the Crispy Noodle.
Why not? Noodle.
Meet my son, the Crispy Noodle. It sounds like a wrestling name or something, doesn't it? Like a stage name.
Yeah.
Like a rap name. Yo, 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 I'm the Crispy Noodle.
What up?
What up?
From Ambler in the house.
Crispy Noodle in the house. I'm going to crumble myself all over your salad. That crispy noodle.
That definitely did not sound right.
Oh, come
well,
on.
It was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
God damn it. I can't get away with saying anything on this podcast.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah. Well, how about we just launch into this segment then?
Let's do it. Give me some awkward, crazy, weird baby names.
All right. Should I start with girls' names or boys' names? What would you like first?
Whichever you deem to be weirdest. Or you could even flip back and forth between the two. All
right, let's start with girls' names then.
Okay.
This is actually confirmed. Somebody named their kid Audi after the car brand. Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Were you behind that? I know you're in marketing.
No, this wasn't
like, hey, name your kid Audi. Name your kid Audi. We'll give you a free
car. I'll tell you what, you should get a free, if you're willing to name your kid Audi, you
Rich.
Should,
Get in contact with them.
We found a new promotion.
This is your field, isn't it?
Sponsored by the Crispy Noodle.
Wow.
If you name your kid Audi.
Wait, are we giving people Audis?
No, we're broke.
Or do we get the Audis?
First off, we're broke. We don't have any money. So
this podcast runs on a $0 budget.
Yes, all right.
Other than the electricity to run the machines, we spend no money on this podcast.
Right. So we don't have the funds to support this.
Yeah.
So we would need an Audi dealership that needs sales.
Yeah. Desperately.
So, yeah. We could probably find some dealership.
So somebody named their little girl Audi.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a girl name, though. Audi.
To me, that's just
a
weird...
doesn't sound like any name.
To me, that sounds just a weird precedent. Like,
I've heard of Mercedes, though.
Yeah.
And Porsche. Porsche de Rossi from Arrested Development.
I guess there is a precedent.
Well, that's
yeah.
not spelt like Porsche.
I don't know. I guess I was thinking
I'm
like
Ford.
Yeah, is a little Lincoln gonna come out?
Little Lincoln,
little Lincoln.
General Motors.
Oh, little GM.
Oh, little GM. But watch, that kid goes on to be a GM.
Little Fiat.
Little Fiat. Fiat actually doesn't sound that bad. I mean, it is still a car name.
Volkswagen.
Dodge might work as well too.
Volkswagen wouldn't
Volkswagen
be too good.
No. BMW. Just letters.
Yeah.
Lexus,
or Bimmer.
Lexus.
Or Bimmer.
Bimmer.
Hey, Bimmer, how you doing?
You trying to pronounce the acronym?
Yeah, BMW. Bimmer.
Bimmer.
How you doing, Bimmer?
What are the car names? Acura, Nissan. They're all... car names do not work. Saab. Saab.
Saab.
Volvo.
Oh.
That's a bad one, Volvo.
It's not for a girl.
No. Not for any gender. Volvo. Sounds like a really weird, creepy Eastern European name. Yes. My name is Volvo. Doesn't it?
I break down occasionally, but don't worry.
My electric system is on the fritz. Oh, my God. Actually, you know, Hyundai might work, sort of. Speaking of car problems, our Hyundai's in the shop. God. Little Hyundai needs a new catalytic converter.
All right, you ready to move on to the next
one? Oh, God, I thought of something really bad.
Okay.
I was going to say, I'm driving my little Hyundai so hard that I broke it down.
All right, let's move on to the next name.
Okay, go ahead.
This one is just weird in spelling. Heavenly is a name that was given to
a
baby.
It's a little pretentious, don't you think?
But the spelling is heaven And then L-E-I-G-H, Heavenly.
What? What was that?
L-E-I-G-H.
Heavenly. Like yeah,
like it's not
weird.
Even spelled like Heavenly.
Yeah. Wow.
It looks like Heavenly.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the last part's like Leah or Lay or something like that. But, don't you think that's a little pretentious, Heavenly? To call your baby Heavenly? What if it's an ugly baby? I'm just saying. It fell from heaven and hit every branch on the way down. That's why you got to be careful with these names. If you name your kid, like, Perfect, they're going to become a drug dealer. I guarantee it. Because that's the way karma works.
All right, well, let me get your opinion on this, then. Juju.
Oh, God, is it going to be good juju or bad juju?
Yeah, you want the good juju.
Also, is she Jewish?
Juju Jewish.
Juju.
Sounds like a weird...
It's a Pokemon.
Sounds
juju.
Like a, it sounds like a weird superhero.
I'm Juju Jewish.
I'm Jew-man.
I'm here to save the day. It's Juju Jewish.
Juju Jewish.
Armed with my latkes and... matzo ball soup.
My challah bread.
Yeah,
gonna bash you with the menorah.
Juju Jewish, he's coming to save you.
I'm here to wish you a happy Hanukkah and kick some ass. I'm just adding that sound to the beginning of every word. So, Juju.
Yeah.
How's it spelled?
J-U-J-U. Juju. All right, our next one for
maybe
girls.
Maybe the mother just had a stutter. Anyway,
the next one for a girl that was actually given to a baby girl in 2014, Salima.
Like Selena?
No.
But
Salima. S-A-L-I-M-A. Salima. I have no idea what that is. It sounds to me like...
It sounds like salmonella.
Yeah, it sounds like a...
Or like salmon or like...
Sounds like a
salamander. Salami.
I got some Salima in this Petri dish.
You flipped those letters around, you got salami. Yeah. Right?
Why not?
Give me some salami.
You know, some part of me wonders, like, it was like the parents were, like, just dazed and confused after the birth of their kids.
I think they were like, trying to say Selena, like Selena Gomez, well, and they said Salima.
That came out Salima, S-A-L-I-M-A.
Wow. That one doesn't sound as bad as, like, Audi or Juju.
Well, how about we try this one on for size then? Stormy.
Oh, you're asking for trouble with that name.
Stormy.
Why don't you just name your kid Bad Kid?
Just outright also, name their kid Bad Kid.
That's a porn name.
What, Stormy?
Yeah.
It does sound like a stripper name.
It is.
Here comes Stormy.
No, I mean, I legitimately think that there's a porn star named Stormy.
Is this from your incognito browsing history?
Hold on. I can jump into incognito mode.
Someone's going to hack Mike's computer and find out if he's been finding Stormy. Are you really?
I'm incognito.
He's incognito. He's safe. Don't worry. He's searching Stormy on. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Yes, it is.
Just yes.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That was the pause.
God bless you, Internet.
There you go.
In 5 seconds, you can check the most magical things in the world.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
So, go ahead. Stormy. Don't do it, people. You're asking for a bad time. Just like Heavenly. Don't name your kid a name that could be later viewed as ironic or as karmic. Because it's just, you're asking for a bad time. Anyway, next name. Let's do this. I love these. These are great. Any food names?
No. Okay. The next one is Timber. T-Y-M-B-E-R.
No.
Timber.
They named that kid that so that when it came out, they could say, Timber!
I'm surprised for a girl's name.
Yeah.
To me, that sounds like that would be more of a guy's name.
Yeah, that's weird. She's cutting down logs. I don't know. That was awkward. Timber, though?
Yeah, maybe? Timber. And with a Y, too.
How is it
T-Y-M-B-E-R.
Maybe it's Timber.
I don't think so. Timber?
Do
really?
Do they have the pronunciation? I don't know.
T-Y-M-B-E-R, Timber.
Do you pronounce that Timber or Timber?
I thought it would be Timber.
What about like Ty Detmer? T-Y is Ty.
But that's just itself. Ty, I don't know.
Tyler? The T-Y is Ty.
You think
Timber.
Timber? Really?
Timber, yeah. Timber.
Really?
Timberly.
You're naming... Timberly.
Timberly, yeah. I mean, that's what it's short for.
Timberly.
You know how Kim is short for Kimberly? This is Timberly. I think it's Timber.
You think it's Timber?
Yeah, it's time for Burr.
Well, I'm going to go with Timber.
Timber.
Yeah,
When did that song come out?
Because they
might have used that as inspiration.
I thought it was this year.
That's how...
November 2013. So it got released at the end of last year.
That's what they got pregnant to.
Yeah, that's probably where she was conceived.
Timber! Yeah. Thank God there's no video on this podcast. Timber, you're just thrusting away shouting Timber.
Mike thrusting is an image I don't need to see again.
All right, I'm sitting down, so
let's move on. Here's the next name.
God damn it.
Next name, actually true, given to a girl in 2014, YOLO. Somebody actually named her kid YOLO.
God, no.
Yep, sorry. And that girl, whoever has that
pisses me off.
Whoever has that unfortunate name.
What did I say? Don't name your kids things that could later be considered ironic or karmic. This is bad because that girl is going to grow up saying YOLO and then drive off while drinking and, I don't know, shooting guns in the air and doing a whole bunch of bad things that could get people in trouble.
Okay, so there you go.
I'm just saying, don't name your kid YOLO because then they're going to practice that lifestyle.
And finally for the girls, Zulai.
Like July?
Yeah, but with a Z. Zulai. Z-U-L-Y. I have no idea what that means.
That's weird.
Zulai.
Is it Zulai or Zuli?
I don't know. There's no pronunciation.
Is it like Julie, but they messed up? Like you said, Julie, Julie?
The spelling looks like July, but with Z in front of it.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, I'm going with Zulai.
That's really weird.
Sounds like Ghostbusters, remember? There is no Dana, there is only Zulai. And I'm sorry, you'll be made fun of the rest of your career in grade school.
I am the gatekeeper. Are you the... What was
key
the
master.
Key master.
Yeah.
She was the key master?
She's the key master, apparently.
Okay.
All right, now let's get the boys' names. Let's make fun of boys.
I gotta tell you though, those first few names were really good. The girls' names. It's gonna be tough for the boys to top it.
Well, let's see.
You can't do much more than the top Timber or Timber or whatever.
The first one here is Anthem. What's Anthem's Anthem? I don't know, but his name is Anthem.
Wow, that's awkward.
Yeah,
it's awkward to name your kid after a thing. You know,
yeah,
like Audi. Or like Cherry's Waffles.
Right.
You're like Anthem. But at least Cherry's and Waffles are real things. And Anthem is like an abstract concept, you know? It's a song, but you can't see a song. You can only hear it. So it's not concrete. Anthem.
Anthem.
That's very weird.
Next on the list, we've got Bender.
Bender? Like Futurama?
Like Futurama, Breakfast Club. Yeah, Bender.
Well, there is a precedent there.
Yeah, but it was more of a nickname. It wasn't...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
That's not as weird as, like, Audi and Anthem.
I'll give you that.
Why don't they name him National Anthem? Make the last name Anthem and name him National.
There you go.
There you go.
Next name, Burke.
Burke?
B-E-R-K. Burke.
B-E-R-K. Eh. That's weird, but...
Burke, Burke, Burke. Burke, Burke.
Durka Durka.
Yeah, it's like Durka Durka, but Burka Burka.
Burka Burka.
Yeah, Burka Burka Burka.
He's going to get made fun of.
Yeah.
Or he could be a total badass and they could call him Iceberg. Like Iceberg? Come on. That's Wow. Everything I've said that's got the biggest
berk.
Iceberg. Yeah.
Wow.
Look at, he could play hockey and be like, look out, here comes the iceberg. Shut up.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
I'm going to go back in incognito mode. I don't got time for this stuff. Iceberg. That was a good one. You come up with a better one. Oh no, iceberg just sunk the Titanic. Boom. Come on. That's a good one. That's right. A good one. You're iceberg. Not going to give me it, are you?
No.
I'm putting it down.
Iceberg, iceberg coming to a hockey rink near you, I guess. Next one up, someone named their kid Hershey. So there you go. Someone likes chocolates. I feel like some of these things are like the mom is like out of it and it's just like, oh. I want a Hershey. And like the nurse is like, oh, that's okay. The name of the
Hershey,
kid?
Yeah, Hershey.
Hershey.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. How is it spelled? Is it spelled
yeah,
like
Hershey's?
Really?
Uh-huh.
Hershey should sue them.
Yeah. Copyright infringement on a baby.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking racist things.
That was just so.
Well, no, because
calm, out of nowhere.
I want to know. I want to know what ethnicity is the child.
I don't have it on the list here.
Okay.
The next weird name that was actually given to a baby boy in 2014, Judge.
Okay.
Like, I guess, like, wow. Judge Dredd?
I guess we know what he's doing as a profession.
I am the law!
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Judge Dredd.
You betray the law!
That kid basically has two options in life, become a judge or become a criminal.
And if he's going to be either or, he needs to be, like, super badass.
Yeah, definitely.
To have Judge in your first
Judge
name.
Judge Dredd, yeah.
The evidence has been falsified!
He's just going to walk around shouting that in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
You stole my Pokemon card!
The evidence has been falsified!
And just kick the kid down a flight of steps.
He's like Little Stallone or something.
Little Stallone? Big Stallone? Hey, I'm Little Stallone. Hey.
Yo, where's the juice? I need to find my juice!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
You gotta be real high-pitched, little baby Stallone. Mom and daddy.
I
can't do a baby Stallone.
I don't want to go to nap time!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Mom,
don't turn off the TV!
Mom, I need to finish this PlayStation game!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Mom, just got some turn good, it off!
Yeah, he's got some good lines waiting for him when he gets older.
Yeah.
If he becomes a judge, that would be amazing. Judge.
Yeah!
Your Honor, Judge.
Right, Judge. That's how you'd have to address him.
But he could also be a criminal. I mean, that's what I mean. It could be ironic. Don't do it.
All right, the next name I got here. I just like this one because of the show. Rocco. Somebody actually named their kid Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
Right. Not a very good impression.
Like,
wow.
That's the only line I can do.
Pretty damn good.
Thank you.
So
Rocco's Modern Life was amazing.
Yeah, I love that show.
That show was so, like, the great thing about old cartoons is that they were so disgusting and so outlandish. Like, every cartoon right now is very PC and very PC meaning politically correct. And also PG. They're very, you know, bland and boring. But Rocco's Modern Life, man.
Yeah,
that's
it was awesome.
Ren and Stimpy.
And they pushed the limits, too.
They did. They really did back in the day.
There was an episode where they went to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like, really?
Also, I think that has gay characters in that show, too. Hmm. Like, they weren't afraid to make fun of anything. And this was like a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, it was all Nickelodeon.
It was on Nickelodeon. Now Nickelodeon's all, I don't know what they show anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pathetic. But anyway, yeah, I'm lamenting the loss of Saturday morning cartoons here, but we got baby names to get to.
Last two weird boys' names here.
All right.
Zealand, like New Zealand?
Zealand?
Yeah, actually naming their kid Zealand.
Is it spelt like that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just call him Zoolander?
At that point, go,
yeah,
go out,
I mean,
Zoolander.
Why Zealand?
Zealand.
It sounds awkward without the new as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound weird, like, just saying Zealand?
Yeah, it does. It does sound a little off.
Although, you know what? He could claim that he was the original Zealand and New Zealand stole his name. That's why they're New Zealand, not Old Zealand. Or does that make them Old Zealand now? Now he's New Zealand.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. You lost me.
Going back to incognito mode.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell you were talking about in that last minute so.
New Zealand isn't new anymore, Rich. Now he's the New Zealand.
Okay.
Come on.
Let's move on to the last one. You ready for the last one?
Yeah.
I think you might like this one. Someone actually named their baby boy in 2014 Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Hey, it's a good rock band.
It is. And that's a badass name, too.
Zeppelin.
Oh, man.
You could go by Zepp.
Zepp, yeah.
If he wants to shorten it.
Or people could just call him Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, why not? So, obviously, parents must have been huge Led Zeppelin fans, I guess, or
also,
something.
Also, it makes it possible for him to say this.
Wow, whoopee, a Zeppelin!
A can of Simon Eyes.
The Christmas Story?
Yeah, nice. Whoopee, a Zeppelin! As soon as you said Zeppelin, I was like, I didn't even think of Led Zeppelin. I thought A Christmas Story.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Zeppelin's actually a badass name, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And Zepp is an awesome nickname. Not better than Iceberg, but almost as good.
Yeah, right. All right. Well,
all right. No, hold on. Hold on. Who thinks Iceberg is a cool nickname?
Oh, God.
I would
all right, you
tweet
know,
out to us.
Yeah.
Give hashtag Zeppelin or hashtag Iceberg. To let us know.
I'm sorry, that just sounds stupid. Iceberg.
It's a play on words.
Nope.
It's a play on words.
I will go with Zeppelin. I would rather name my kid Zeppelin than Iceberg.
I'm going with Iceberg.
All right. Well, there you go. We have kids. I'm naming my kids Zeppelin.
And I'm naming my kids Iceberg.
There you go. Done deal.
I think, although, you know, we had this conversation before, way back. I don't know if anybody remembers this. This is an oldie, but a goodie. Where we talk about naming kids after Taco Bell meals. Do you remember that?
Right, yeah.
Little Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yeah, Crunchwrap Supreme, yeah.
Is that a promo? I don't know if it is.
I don't think it is, but...
It's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Way back when. Go check it out. Go find it. I can't find it. So they'll have to find it themselves. But anyway.
All right, with all of the names
That's all
done,
the names?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. We should do that every week. I really like odd names because it never fails to crack me up.
All right. Well,
that was really good, though. That was really good. Good find, Rich. Good find. We should make it. You know, we can make it an annual thing.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So those were the weirdest baby names of 2014, right?
Yep.
All right. Awesome.
All right. And with all the weird names out of the way, we can go back to our dose of odd news.
Yes, our regularly scheduled odd news.
That's right.
And for those of you that don't know, here in the Non-Fortune Cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I don't know any of these stories that he's got, so my reactions are my genuine reactions, my gut reactions to my first time hearing these stories. So it's new for me, it's new for you, and you know what? Not even Rich knows what's going to happen and what direction these stories will take, because that's just how wild it gets sometimes.
Yep.
So we've had a nice little primer with the baby names, but let's dive in to the main odd news. What do you got for us, Rich?
All right, let's launch off with this story, which is just kind of a blur, but it's just interesting to read. A foul mouth can get you in trouble because an Ohio woman pulled over on Thanksgiving morning responded to a cop's query about how much she had been drinking with the following phrase, quote, gobble, gobble, turkey, mother effer. That's all she said to the cop.
Wow. That didn't answer his question at all. Although, indirectly, it did.
Yeah.
When you think about it, how much have you been drinking? Gobble, gobble. Yeah. That right there should tell you a lot.
North Ridgeville police said they stopped 24-year-old Jessica Sorensen at 4 a.m. Thanksgiving morning for driving with a front tire totally off the road. She allegedly kept driving after the tire came off the rim, which left gouge marks in the roadway.
Oh, God. How did she lose the tire?
I guess it just came off.
They don't just come off, though.
She popped off? I don't know.
What was she doing before the cops found her? She's just like off-roading across broken glass and giant boulders or something?
Well, that was when the police pulled her over, and Sorensen was then charged with drunk driving. So
I should hope so.
Yeah.
Gobble, gobble, turkey.
Mother effer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. First one to kick things off here in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
You knew there had to be some weird stuff following Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, holidays is always a time for some good odd news stories.
It's true. You know, you mix alcohol, family get-togethers, and, you know, crazy places like Florida, and it makes magic, Rich.
Yep.
It makes magic. Holiday magic.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Yeah. You're like, I'm just going to ignore that and keep going.
This one's a very interesting story.
Okay.
An Alabama church has officially announced that it will start holding its services at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're happy about this.
Rich, I hate to break it to you, but I'm moving to Alabama.
You're starting your own church?
Yeah. Yeah, the Church of Michaelism.
Well,
we meet at a sushi place. Yeah, sushi sounds good.
Well, an Alabama church has officially announced it's going to start holding services at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, that's awesome. Can communion be Buffalo Wings?
To reach potential parishioners who, quote, wouldn't go to a church.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. Little Thin Wafer, Buffalo Wings.
Yeah, there's no contest
I shouldn't
there.
Be saying that because I'm going to be a confirmation sponsor in May. So,
good luck with that.
Look, you know, I'm a good role model. I show the kids that, you know, church is important, and also Buffalo Wings are important as well.
Obviously.
You know, there's that religious song, On Eagle's Wings. This is basically the same thing. Buffalo Wings.
On chicken wings.
You raise me up. Spicy sauce and blue cheese. Let's throw in a vocal run. Just to spice things up like buffalo wings. Amen, my brother.
The Reverend...
What was that? What did that guy say last week? I am Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Hey there, I'm Jesus.
The Reverend Wesley Savage, who is the minister of young adults for River Chase United Methodist Church in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, man, Birmingham.
Said that the church is going to hold Sunday morning services at its local Buffalo Wild Wings in the hopes of attracting worshipers who might be, quote, intimidated by a church setting.
You know what? You know what? It sounds weird, but it's not a bad idea.
No.
Honestly, Rich, I would be the most religious person in the world. If you could tell me, enough with the fasting crap, here's a bacon cheeseburger and some buffalo wings.
It's holy.
I would become a priest. No, you know... whatever gets people interested, right? I mean, that's the key. You got to get people interested, you know? Would you go to church if it was out of Buffalo Wild Wings?
If I couldn't eat the wings and watch the Eagles, yeah.
Here's the key. Can you eat wings and watch the football game while you're in the service? Or is this like in a secluded back room where you're not allowed to like drink or eat or anything?
Savage says that the restaurant will be preparing to open during the 45-minute services, but no beer will be served during the worshiping.
What about the wine? You got to have wine with church, right?
You're supposed to.
Replace the wine with some Sam Adams or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brew.
Get the winter brew. They have seasonal stuff. Hold on, wait. Is the restaurant okay with this?
Yeah, apparently.
They're just like, sure, whatever.
Yeah. Come on in.
That's pretty neat.
Savage says, we're going to encourage people to stay for lunch, stay for sports. This is a partnership. We'll help them with their business because they're helping us.
This is not a bad idea.
The official motto of this church will now be changed to, quote, Wings Prayer Sports.
Nice.
That is pretty nice.
Question, do you get dipping sauce with the Eucharist?
I'll try the blue cheese today.
The blue cheese, yeah.
Little blue cheese.
I did blue cheese last week. Maybe a little bit of ranch this time.
There you go.
You have spicy chipotle? Oh, gosh. Decisions. Jesus, what do you think? You just start praying?
Yep.
You pray to the buffalo wing gods? Our crispy chicken, who art in heaven. Our crunchy be thy breading.
Our wingmaster, who art in the cook.
Who art in the cook.
Who art in the kitchen. Hallowed be thy chicken wings. Thy kingdom come. Thighs will be
done. On fryer as it is in my plate.
Yes.
Give us this day my daily buffalo wings. And lead us not into vegetables.
Ugh. Yeah.
In the name of the wing and of the blue cheese and the holy beer. Amen.
Amen. There you go.
So beautiful.
Yep, so, if you want to check out this church, go to Alabama.
I'm moving. I'm sorry, guys. All our listeners, I'm moving to Alabama. It's official.
We're saving that to the end of the show, but...
Yeah, so I had to break the news right now because I just found out.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. This is a true story. A woman who was ordered by a British court to be quiet during sex is now making her point loud and clear.
What?
She refuses to stop screaming during sex now.
Come on, you had to see that coming.
Yeah, obviously.
Coming, get
it. Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
53-year-old Carolyn...
How can the court say that, though?
53-year-old Carolyn Cartwright of Sunderland, England is apparently
Cartwright
so...
Cartwright? Sorry. That's completely off topic, yeah.
53-year-old Carolyn Cartwright of Sunderland, England is apparently so noisy with her 38-year-old husband that a British judge has officially ordered her to keep it down because all the neighbors complained.
They have very strict porn laws in the UK as well.
Yeah.
So they're very prim and proper, I guess. They don't...
I know it's something to do with sex.
What's the word of prudish? That's the word I'm looking for. But how can the court order them to do that? Stop yelling while you're having sex. It seems like something the court can't really do legally.
The order, which is known as the Antisocial Behavior Order, or ASBO.
That sounds like 1984 stuff right there.
Yeah.
The social behavior. What was it?
Antisocial Behavior Order.
Wow.
ASBO.
You have to go to the re-education facility. I love Big Brother. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Go read 1984, people.
Also, why would you name something that's like anti-sex ASBO?
ASBO, yeah. Sounds... You have the word ass right in there.
Yeah. Well, ASBO, the Antisocial Behavior Order, banned Cartwright from shouting, screaming, or vocalizing when getting down and dirty.
How do they police that? Do they put someone outside her house and listen? Do they go up to the door with a stethoscope? They're like... I hear some heavy grunting. It has not proceeded to yelling. And there's a yell. Break down the door.
I know it's something to do with sex.
How do they police that, though? Do they tell the neighbors, like, hey, you know, keep your ears open for any shenanigans going on over there? Report them to your police.
The woman says that, quote, it's not as if I'm having sex and think, oh, I'm making too much noise. I better be quiet. That doesn't happen.
That's what the gag is for. Actually, I think that's outlawed in Britain now.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Mike, is this what you search in the
incognito
mode?
No, no.
How do you know about that, Mike?
I'm just saying, you know, it's one possible solution.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Oh, God, this episode. This episode. Tarnishing my good name.
Well... The ASBO was officially issued to the woman after police came to the Cartwright home more than 30 times.
What were they doing?
Yeah.
How loud was she screaming?
What the hell are they doing?
Was she just like shrieking at the top of her lungs?
And how do I figure out how to do this? What the hell? 30 times. God damn.
In one night or over the course of like a couple weeks?
Couple of weeks.
Okay. I was going to say every 30 seconds.
According to this, she violated a noise abatement order 5 times and was supposed to get 8 to 12 weeks in jail.
Yikes.
Wow. I didn't realize it could be this serious.
Wow. Yeah, they're really strict over there.
Yeah.
Damn.
Of course, the woman is fighting it in the British courts as of right now.
She could have just said she was practicing to sing like Mariah Carey. Oh, 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 oh. Right? I probably just woke up the neighborhood. I'm going to get one of those Aspos now.
Yeah. You're going to get the American equivalent.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Noise complaints or whatever.
Noise complaint.
I need the, you know, I need to call this 38-year-old husband. What the hell are you doing? Damn, man. Call it Guy Holmes, man. He's working her out. Just saying.
Wow.
Just saying. I want to know a couple tricks. You can always learn a couple tricks, you know? Just saying, man. Yeah.
Is that what you use incognito mode for? the tables have turned. The research.
Yeah, it's quote unquote research.
Research.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, boy.
All right. How about we move on to the next story?
Yeah.
And it starts off a three-story Florida segment.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, I got three stories from Florida for you.
Nice.
And the first one, why not? Has to do with sex again.
I know it's something to do with sex.
We're going the complete... I just realized something. We're going the complete opposite of the spectrum, right?
Okay.
The woman from our previous story was obviously satisfied with what was going on.
Uh-oh.
Now we're going to the complete opposite.
Oh, no.
Police in Florida had to arrest an extremely intoxicated woman after she beat her boyfriend because he gave bad oral sex to her.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Well, the smoking gun.
Actually, no, it doesn't.
The smoking gun reports that 50-year-old Jenny Scott assaulted her 32-year-old boyfriend, Gilberto De Leon.
Gilberto?
Yeah, Gilberto. What a name.
There's another weird name. Is that like Roberto, but they like messed up?
Yeah.
Gilberto?
Gilberto De Leon at his home following a joint oral sex encounter
69.
That, quote, ended prematurely.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Scott told police that she became ferociously angry after De Leon, quote, finished first and stopped pleasuring her. Come on.
Oh, you gotta finish what you started. Nobody has any drive nowadays.
That is the perfect metaphor I've heard for this.
End the story right there. Yeah, we're not gonna do better than that.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Finish what you started. Eat your whole meal.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yep. What is wrong with us? This episode.
Deputies responded to a report of a disturbance at DeLeon's home, encountered Scott punching and scratching her lover, and alleged that she threatened him with a stick and a wrench.
Wow, jeez.
Yeah, boy, this is what happened. Take a lesson here, guys. You better, you know, please your woman, all right?
Finish what you started.
Yeah. The woman was officially arrested and placed in the Manatee County lockup.
Manatee County? Yeah.
Manatee!
I can't respect a county that's named after a bulbous water mammal thing.
That's Florida for you.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
You know what, though? She's partially at fault. Instead of beating him with a wrench and a stick, she could have asked politely, you know?
You know, yeah, but, you know, at the same time.
You know, beating someone sort of kills the mood.
At the same time, guys, come on. You got to finish it.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it there. All right, let's move on to the next story.
All right, what do we got? Another one, right?
No, I want that. We need to make that in the what have we learned. Just finish it.
I put that's already in there.
Good. All right, let's get to our second.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah. We need the Nike slogan. Yeah.
Swoosh.
Swoosh.
That's the thing. That's the swoosh.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
All right.
All right, let's get to our second Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, here, let's get to just some general wackiness.
All right.
A Florida man was arrested after he stole a front end loader and led authorities on a car chase for up to an hour and a half as he was going 25 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is an exciting chase here.
32-year-old Donald John Clark was being held at the Pinellas County Jail in St. Petersburg on $32,000 bail because he stole a Volvo L100G, which is a 20-ton front-end loader.
Tell me, officer, do you have any idea how fast you were going?
I guess I was going about 65, tops.
Seven. 7 miles an hour. And normally when I stop people, they pull onto the shoulder.
So 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's the fastest that a front end loader can go.
It took them an hour and a half to stop it?
Yep.
What were they doing? They're just lazily following them?
They attempted to pull him over, but he ignored sirens and emergency lights.
Park in front of him. He's only going 25.
Clark,
you have enough time to build a small wall at the end of a street.
Clark hit curbs and ran stop signs as he cut through side streets and neighborhoods. Police traced the movements of the front end loader. When establishing police car roadblocks, officers were forced to make openings at the last minute because Clark willfully charged right towards them. You ready for how he got caught?
Okay.
The vehicle ran out of gas.
Oh, my God.
90 minutes into the chase. So,
wow.
Yep, just...
Why did he steal it?
He just wanted to.
He just wanted to. This sounds like a really poorly planned out heist.
He
ran out of gas.
Clark, who has a history of driving with a suspended license, disorderly conduct, and driving under the influence, was officially arrested.
I would have never guessed.
Yep. So he's in jail right now.
Oh, boy. That's where he deserves to be. I just can't believe that. It took them an hour and a half. They didn't even stop him. He stopped himself.
Yeah.
He ran out of gas.
Had to run it, ran out of gas.
It's a war of attrition.
Yeah.
You just follow him until he runs out of gas, boys. I guess that's actually the safest way to do it, though, really.
Well, they said they'd try and put up roadblocks, but he just went barreled down them.
Why not?
Build a small wall. You have more than enough time. It's only going 25. Just pick a really long road, start building, and block off all the side streets. Simple as that.
All right, ready for our last Florida story?
Yes.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Police in Florida say that a Walmart shopper denied slipping $35 worth of beef tongue into his pants.
Ew.
But the telltale tongue told a different story.
What was that?
Telltale tongue.
Tongue. That's a tongue twister. Say that three times fast.
Telltale tongue, telltale tongue, telltale tongue.
I hate you. Go ahead.
D-Land police say that 44-year-old Jason Puckett was charged last week with a misdemeanor theft after a Walmart security guard spotted him slipping two packages of beef tongue into his waistband. Ugh.
I guess it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I guess he had a lot of... I mean, it's a dog toy, right? Beef tongue? Or is this food?
Beef tongue. I guess... I don't know.
I thought it was like a dog toy, isn't it? They get like beef... Like they get like bones and like weird things to chew on. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it was food. I don't know.
When the guard confronted Puckett at the store's exit, Puckett denied stealing the packages and said that he had put them back correctly on a shelf. But the guard told authorities Puckett then removed the tongue from his pants when he didn't think he was being watched and ran from the store.
Why didn't he just keep them in the pants?
Yeah, you should just... If you're going to lie, you might as well lie all the way.
This is the difference between a smart criminal and a dumb criminal. A smart criminal says, you know what, I'm going to wait till I get home to take these out of my pants. A dumb criminal takes them out in the middle of the store.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not watching anymore, so I'll just take them out and start running. That won't look suspicious at all.
He was caught. Jail records show Puckett remained in jail as of Tuesday. His bail is set at $2,500.
All right.
So, don't worry. Your beef tongue is safe.
It's all those, you know, really big beef tongue fans.
Yep.
I wonder if that's food or a dog toy. I think it's a dog toy, but I don't know.
All right. Well, our next...
They could steal something better, really.
Our next story, you know what it is. And it's...
I do?
Yep. You already know.
What is it?
Because police have arrested a 28-year-old man who they say broke into an Austin business, stole a couple of sausages, and then fell asleep.
Sausages!
Yep, you knew it was coming. Another sausage story.
Sausages!
It's that underground sausage crime ring, I'm telling you.
They were trying to fight back from last week, apparently.
Yeah.
Sausages!
You know, people think I'm joking, but I know. I know.
Yeah, you're the sausage loan shark.
That's right, I am. Check out the promo.
Yeah. KXAN-TV reports that surveillance video from Hudson Meats shows the man trying to break down the front door for about 20 minutes.
Jeez. So he just gave up and went to sleep?
No. The intruder then takes some sausages from the meat processing business, goes back outside, then returns, grabs a coat, goes to the back office, and takes a nap.
What? I never understand why criminals decide to sleep at the place of their crime.
Yeah. Why? Well, can't this wait till you go home?
Yeah. So wait, he tried to break down the door. Did he get in then?
Yeah, he got in after 20 minutes.
Okay. You spent all that time breaking down the door.
Boy, that makes you tired, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's all for naught if you take a nap and get caught.
Yep. Austin police officers woke up Ricardo Cadona, who told police he'd been out drinking. They charged him with criminal trespassing. It wasn't immediately clear why Cardona stole the sausages, but maybe we have a reason. Maybe he's part of that sausage ring.
He is.
Sausages!
Yep, we need those
sausages. He's one of the button men for the boss.
Yeah.
Me. I'm the boss.
Luckily, the store owner says that insurance money will pay for the replacement door and the stolen and the sausage. So don't worry. He'll get his money back.
Sausage
is a weird thing to steal.
Yeah.
Like, I understand jewelry, electronics, cars, people, but sausage, really? You're going to steal sausage?
Sausages! 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 Oh my god, sausages! We got all kinds of sausages. Big sausages, little sausages, brown sausages, slightly less brown sausages. All kinds of goddamn sausages. Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. All right, and ready for our last story here?
Yes, let's do this.
This one is just, I can't believe how outrageous people can be.
Okay, what did people do now?
All right. A Washington State man is accused of swapping furniture with his neighbors while they were away. But the news...
Hoping they wouldn't notice. Hey, hon, didn't we have a leather couch here? Why? What do we have now? A futon.
Well, the News Tribune reports that the Lakewood man and a friend who's accused of helping him have pleaded not guilty Wednesday to the charges of residential burglary. Now,
your furniture is literally in your victim's house. Your fingerprints and probably more are on it.
It gets better.
I can't see how.
Court papers say a couple who returned to their apartment last Monday found their love seat, matching chair, and other belongings gone. Only an old recliner and a TV stand were left in their place.
They didn't even swap out the right furniture. What jerks?
The suspect's information was left behind in the house on a traffic ticket and pizza receipt that was left in the house while the couple was away.
Was it stuck in the recliner or did they just leave it
there?
They
just left it there.
Was it
a
like...
traffic ticket and a pizza receipt?
Who brings a traffic ticket to a robbery? You're like, all right, Rich, we need our robbery kit. You got the furniture? Yes. You got the lock picking kit? Yes. You have the traffic receipt and the home address with all our personal information on it? Yep. Yeah. All right, let's go.
Of course, I'm going to reimburse you for the traffic ticket.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, this was a complicated robbery. I'm going to need a blue copy, a white copy, a pink copy.
A recent photo and two forms of ID.
Before I can reimburse you,
yeah.
Of course. But then you will get your money back from the ticket.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Obviously, they had pizza there, too, if they left
obviously.
Their seat. Yeah.
And then you get hungry in the middle of it.
Yeah, I know. You're lifting out the furniture. You're like, God, I could really go for some Domino's.
Yeah. Might as well get it.
Oh, boy.
Now, you ready for what the suspect says?
I didn't do it.
The suspect told police
He thought the couple had moved out, so that's why he, quote, went over to the neighbor's house to examine the furniture, but he said he never took the furniture. Police say he told them that he was drunk when he decided to check out the furniture and that he was interested in shopping for that same furniture for his house.
So he thought they had moved out, but all of their stuff was still there.
Yeah.
Who moves without all of their stuff?
Right.
I mean, maybe you leave, you know, old appliance behind or something, but all of your stuff?
Yeah.
They probably still have picture frames up. Their coat is still there hanging on the hook. Their cat is still there. I thought they left. Yeah. But well, wait, so if he didn't take the furniture, how did the furniture disappear? And how did new furniture get in its place? Some other mystery man with access to both apartments did it, right?
Well, a trial has been arranged for the case. And the only thing I have to say to this guy is good luck. I have no idea how the hell you're going to try and fight that.
Insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the... I'm surprised every criminal in these odd news stories don't just plead insanity. And you listen to these news stories and you're like, yep. Insane.
I swear, this furniture in my house is not at all related to my neighbors.
I was just window shopping.
Yeah, I was window shopping. Yeah.
Window shopping from inside the apartment.
And I left behind my traffic ticket.
And furniture.
And the pizza receipt.
Don't you bring your furniture when you go window shopping for other furniture?
Yeah, I want to compare and contrast.
You just, like, you pull up to the furniture section in a department store, and your buddy's, like, lugging a sofa behind him. All right, Bob, put it down over there. And you sit down on one, sit down on the other. I don't like it. Pick it up. Let's go to the other couch. He does it for every single couch. Yep. Oh, man. You have to have some good friends for that. Rich, you want to help me pick out furniture?
Hell no. Not like that.
You need a wheelbarrow.
Well, there you go. That's what we have in the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week. But before we officially wrap up the show, we like to go over everything that we've learned in the show in this segment that we call What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
Apparently, you're supposed to bring furniture with you when you go window shopping so you can compare and contrast, right?
Yeah. You need to know how each seat feels on your butt.
Yeah, but you just need a very patient friend to help you with it.
Right.
Because it's a very tedious process.
And reward him with pizza.
Yes, and then leave your traffic tickets and pizza receipts behind.
Right.
Also, you can window shop in other people's apartments, apparently.
Of course.
And by window shop, I mean steal their furniture. Bless you.
Thank you. I sneezed there. What else have we learned?
Finish what you started, people.
Yes.
Finish what you started.
Simple.
Simple. Perfect. It's like an Apple ad.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Also, I learned that I would be a priest if church was held in a Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant.
Yeah.
Give me some blue cheese with that Eucharist. Let's do this.
There you go. Mike's new church.
Delicious. Yeah. Michaelism. Also, we learned that Iceberg is a much cooler nickname. Is a much cooler nickname than whatever that other one you came up with.
Zeppelin,
that's right.
Zeppelin is cooler.
Iceberg is cooler.
Let us know. Send us a Twitter message.
Yes, tweet us. Also, we learned that we're going into incognito mode.
Yeah, it helps.
It does. With, you know, wholesome...
Special searches.
Special, yeah. If you're planning on buying gifts for people, you can go into incognito mode. They won't be able to tell what you're buying them.
Perfect.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Going into incognito mode now. Oh, but that's what I've learned. Rich, what have you learned?
I've learned that Mariah Carey has the worst singing voice for trying to do that kind of singing.
I learned that, too. Yeah. I learned that, too.
Perfect. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo! And there you go. Another episode in the books.
Another good one. Oh, my gosh. I laughed so hard.
Yeah. Well, folks, there you go. That is the craziness and
the sexiness.
Yeah, obviously. We're very sexy here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yes, of course. Go into incognito mode if you want to find out.
Yeah. If you want to know more about the Crispy Noodle, you can search for us in regular or incognito mode. It's up to you.
But if you search for us in regular mode, your search will be saved and you can get to us even quicker.
Yes. Find us at thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some hilarious interviews, videos, and best bits. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest podcast downloaded for free straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us on the go, at work, at home, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and we've got that SoundCloud page where you can hear all of our promos, which is essentially the best parts of the show condensed into a 1 to 2 minute mini noodle that you can listen to on the go and share with friends. It's very easy to share with friends the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So tons of ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us individually on the Twitters. Let us know which name you think is
better.
That's
right. Hashtag Zeppelin or hashtag Iceberg.
Yeah.
Zeppelin.
Iceberg. Sunk the Titanic.
The Zeppelin. It explodes.
Zeppelin exploded. Oh, my God.
Whoops.
Well, folks, that'll do it. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. What a show. I'm spent.
You're Zeppelin. I'm Iceberg.
There you go. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2014. Aruga! Boom! In your face! Ha ha!